Welcome back to DevelopLex. Today we are in the studio, the Awesome Inc. studio with Darren Turner. Darren has a ton of things going on in Lexington right now, and we actually interviewed Troy, who is a close relative of Darren, and touched on a little bit about the projects that Darren has going in Lexington. But I listened to Darren at CPAL, which is a commercial property organization in Lexington recently, and thought, man, we absolutely have to get him on to talk about, again, an exciting development in Lexington, and also just some development in real estate past that hopefully gives some inspiration to our listeners. So I'm going to let Darren introduce himself, but Darren, welcome on.
Oh, thank you for having me. Appreciate it. Looking forward to this interview. So yeah. You did a great job with my brother and made him look fantastic. So hopefully you can do the same with me.
That's the goal. Well, cool. Well, let's, as we always do, kind of get into your personal background. You're obviously pretty plugged in around Lexington. So hopefully a lot of the people around here already know you decently. But for those that don't know Darren Turner, where'd you grow up? How'd you get where you are today?
Okay. Well, I'm Darren Turner. So I'm a father of three, married for 27 years to Kirsten Turner. My oldest son's 27, Seth Turner. My daughter, Hadley Turner, is 22. And my youngest son is 17, Luke Turner. And so I was born and raised in Lexington, Kentucky, went to Tates Creek all 12 years. And then I went to LCC for 1 year. I was not much of a school student. Well, I wasn't the best student, I guess you could say. So I like to learn hands-on, so I left school. Actually, I was working for my father in my senior year, so through the summers and on weekends, what have you, so in the electrical business. And then I went to LCC, spent some time, again, spent 1 year there. When I wasn't at school, I was working for him, learning the electrical trade. So, and then stayed in that. I worked for him for about 7 years in the field. I actually was working in Georgetown, Kentucky at the Toyota plant. We started at the Toyota plant in 1985. We were doing our first big job out there, which is Trailer City. So it was basically all the temporary power. So I worked out there for about 5 years doing all that temporary work and learning the field work, and then moved into the office, learned how to become an estimator. I worked in service department, worked a little bit in design, and then ended up taking over that company back in basically in 2020. So. But to back up a little bit, so I got my mother and father's Ron Turner and Linda Turner. A lot of people know my dad and mom from the Christmas house on Shunaway. And again, my brother's Troy Turner, which is a developer, and him and I have partnered on a couple different projects together. We love working together. He's fantastic. We complement one another in different ways, so fantastic. And then I have a lovely my sister's fantastic, Tanya Widmer. So she married a ex-hockey player, and they own a couple different car washes, and she stays busy being a mom and being a mentor to my mom and dad. So,
yeah.
So, and then we had, you know, a bunch of nephews and nieces. So just, again, grew up in the Lexington area, never left this area, never will. Love this area, love this space. So, and then I moved back to my experience at Amtec. So I spent several years in the estimation portion of our company, spent a lot of time in the design, the service department, project management. In 2020, my dad's a developer, so he kind of stepped out of the electrical business and started spending more time into the development business, which forced me to take over more in the electrical business. So our electrical business is called Amtec, so we're a nation, we work all over the country. So we're licensed in 44 different states, and we're working in about 38 states. So we have about 1,000 employees, so we travel. I spend a lot of time in that business. So
yeah,
and then took the company and bought the company from my father back in 2005, because it wasn't two, three years later the recession hit. So I'm like, oh, what did I do?
Yeah, good timing.
Yeah, so that was a nervous time. So and then ended up, we took the company from my father. Handed over a fantastic business to myself. So I always say he handed over a business on this to me in a silver platter. So it was just perfect. He had great employees, great backbone, great foundation. So it was easy for me to step into the business and take it on. So we grew the business. Basically, we were about a $20 million business. We took it over, and me and the team continued to grow the company to about a $200 million business.
Wow.
So it's a pretty interesting business. Fantastic. You know, again, we're a local contractor here in the state of Kentucky, but we have 14 different locations throughout the country, mainly in the Southeast. So spend about 65-70% of my time in that business. So
yeah. And then you still have a chunk of time, which is probably limited, but a chunk of time left over. How do you describe yourself when people ask you what you do today?
Yeah. So I would say 70% of my time still involved with being the CEO of Amtech. So I've got a fantastic team there. But I've got 13 different executives on our executive team. So they do a fantastic job and running the day-to-day stuff. So I'm still there to be the visionary and help make certain decisions. But our president's Corey Bard, which is a local guy here he got involved with us back. Well, he's been with us for 20 years now. So started off as a CPA for us and doing accounting work and moved up to the president of the company. So that's given me a lot of extra time to go out and do what I like to do as well. And that's the development side of stuff. So back in 88, I built my first house. my father gave me $15,000 and said, here, you can go. I bought a 5-acre piece of property and took that house and I built it. When I say I built it myself, oversaw the construction. So I hired a framer, did all the work, kind of oversaw the subs. But that kind of got me started, to be honest with you, being a developer, because I learned the trade really, really, really quick. So knew the electrical side through our business, but that's how I got started kind of in the development side. And watching my dad on the weekends, going with him to look at his different properties he's developed, that's kind of where the roots were started basically with me in the development side. So 25 or 30% of my time is spent with my company called Turner Properties. So,
yeah.
And I've got several different buildings here in Lexington. I have a couple of different industrial buildings in Richmond, Kentucky. So those have been fantastic. They diversify, my different buildings I own, different properties. So, and then in my latest development that I bought about 3 years ago, which is this, the Commons. So
yeah.
It's on Turner Commons Way right off West Main Street. So,
yeah. And so we're going to spend a chunk of time talking about that for sure, because that's one of those developments that I think people in Lexington don't really know about as well.
Mm-hmm.
One, it's so new. Two, you see it from, I guess, Leestown Road, Main
yeah.
Street.
The two big water towers.
Yeah, and you're like, what? There's a ton of dirt. I mean, what is that exactly? Yeah. It just goes back and back and back. And some people have maybe been in there, but we are going to spend a chunk of time.
Yeah.
Something that I wanted to touch on, though, is you just mentioned a couple different properties that you own in Lexington. What kind of got you, because seemingly those are like stabilized assets, what kind of got you excited about ground up development?
Yeah. Well, actually, a couple of different things. First, watching my dad do it. So my dad, when he was involved with Amtech, he would take some of the profits at the end of the year and he would put them in fixed assets, being buildings. So I watched him do that. He had great tenants. Just watching him, the comfort level he had investing in these buildings and leasing them out. Again, he had a lot of passion towards the buildings and doing something fun. He took some old buildings down in Nicholasville is where he got started. So
yeah. He
bought a couple old buildings down in Nicholasville back when I was 15 or 16, because I went down there and helped clean some of the buildings out. And he turned a couple buildings into antique. It was a Lexington Antique. What was it called? I think it was Lexington Antique Mall or whatever. But it was bowling lanes down in Nicholasville, downtown Nicholasville. And he took this building and he broke it up into different tenants. So watching him do that got me started. So I kind of saw the excitement that he had. It was wasn't easy by any means, but he didn't deal with a lot of employees as a developer. So he had, four or five employees. And so I thought this could be interesting, something I could kind of start off as a hobby, doing a few little buildings here and there. So I started off with the housing, as I mentioned. And then I bought my first building down in Mount Sterling. So I bought an old building. It was built 1890s. It was the old Williams Furniture Store. And bought that, developed that building, finished it out, basically almost took it to the ground, except for the outside, the facade, and built a two-story, it's called Gateway Children's Home, what's there now. So, and there's 24 kids that live in that building. So that was kind of neat to take an old building and do something with it, especially for what the tenant is. So that was neat, be able to give back also. And then I turned around and bought the old high school, the Mount Sterling High School there, right when you come in on Main Street there. the Trojans building is what it was called. So I took that. I was working with Andy Beshear, the governor at that time, with trying to turn it into a children's hospital. So some things turned the opposite ways with turning it into a children's hospital. So after I bought it, that's what our plans were. Now I was stuck with a building I wanted to do something with, and I promised Mount Sterling I would turn it into something that, you know, that they would love. So we try to keep the main concept looking the way it did. You know, so we took the old concept pictures that we had, and tried to redevelop it and rebuild it just like that. But then I turned it into an assisted living. So very got into cool. the assisted living business, which is not my cup of tea by any means. That wasn't my goal to get in any kind of operations like that. But it was great. Got to work with people. And my goal with that building is if I was going to have an assisted living, I want it to be like a Marriott. So that's probably why it wasn't as successful for me, because we probably put more money into it than I should have spent. But again, I built what I wanted. It turned out exactly like we liked. And I ended up selling that business to another group. So that's really where a lot of my building started, buying old buildings and doing something with them. So then I built my first, went on to build five more houses. So I built these houses, I sold them, made a little bit of money off of them, built a little bit bigger home. As I had children, my needs and wants changed. So I built something different. So with building the houses, again, I got a lot of experience through that. And then I started building some office buildings. So now I own several different office buildings in Lexington that I built from ground. Well, two of them ground up. One of them was the old Halloween Express building on New Circle Road. So we took that old building, which was somewhat dilapidated, old block building that had several different tenants in it. And it was a 34,000 square foot building. We added 14,000 square foot to it in the back that we use as our prefab shop, and then redid the whole building. So interesting building. So
that's amazing. And just so people can place that in their mind, whereabouts is that on New Circle?
So it's 1084 New Circle Road. So right across from the Lexus store. So yes. When you come down New Circle Road, you pass South and Christian Church on your left. It used to be the Lexington Mall.
Yep.
2 miles up on your right, right when you go under the railroad track. So
love it.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah.
All right. And so I think there's a lot to talk about, so I just want to go ahead and jump in.
Yeah.
Give us a little bit of the vision, if you could, or maybe give us a background on the Commons, what you saw in that project, and then we can come to present day.
Sure. So 3 years ago, Amy Mellinger came to me and said, "Hey, I've got a beautiful piece of property that you would love." She said it's been looked at through a couple of different developers, but they didn't know what they could do with it. So she goes, "You'll love it." So I met her down there at the entrance there on West Main Street. Fell in love with it as soon as I saw it, because it has these 80 to 90 foot tall pine trees going down the left side of it. It looks a little bit like a runway. It's a long, narrow piece of property, but I knew we could do something awesome with the property. So we drove it. There's five buildings back in the back, the oak tobacco buildings. And then there was a large building that was built. It's 125,000 square foot that was built in 2000. And that building had a tenant in it. So that was nice. It had a little bit of cash flow coming through with that tenant. So I thought, let me go back and put my head around this and what we could do with it. It was the interesting thing about the piece of property. On the right-hand side of the property, when you go down the main road, there's 22 concrete pads. And those concrete pads used to have the old tobacco buildings on it. And they were right, the railroad track runs down through there. So the train would come down, come off a spur, and then they would load this. I guess they would load the train with tobacco from there. And then they had this really cool corporate office, is what the Derek Vaughn and them called their office. They had an office there. They were turning it into their corporate office, and they were right in the middle of doing that. So we walked in that building, and it had so much cool life to it. It told old stories, you could tell, because it was built out of a lot of the materials coming out of the tobacco buildings. Some of the old woods there, some of the bricks, but really cool building. And that was the old maintenance building for the trucks and stuff that hauled some of the tobacco as well. So anyways, fell in love with the piece of property, went back to see what I thought I could do with it. I knew right off the bat it could be a special piece of property. Here it is, it was 36 acres right in the middle of Lexington. It kept me from, I've always wanted to do a big mixed-use development to begin with. but it's hard to find 30 to 40 acres, especially close enough to town that could do what you want to
do. Doesn't exist.
Yeah, it doesn't exist. And also, I'm not wanting to use up any of the, I'm not trying to rezone something that has horse farms on it, because that's what Kentucky's known for. So I thought this could be a great opportunity. I also love that neighborhood over there. I don't know if you know the Meadowthorpe neighborhood. Great. It's a little Chevy Chase.
We looked heavily when we were looking for houses. We landed in Southland, but we looked heavily at Meadowthorpe because there are so many good qualities about it that people just don't realize.
Oh, I love that neighborhood. The people are fantastic. I worked with them throughout the rezoning. So I went back and I scratched my head and was thinking what I could do with this piece of property. I had to make it somewhat feasible to develop because it had all these concrete pads. So a friend of mine, Todd Ball, came down. He owns the Bristol Group. He came down and I asked him to check out the concrete pads for me and said, could I reuse these for anything? Instead of removing them, like most developers were looking at that, spending a couple $1 million to remove all this concrete and lower that level, I was trying to think around what I could do with the pads itself. So instead of $1.5 to $2 million to remove them, got to make that a part of my assets there and recreate these buildings on top of those pads. So he came down and did some testing for me and said that, you got 6-inch reinforced steel pads here. They'll work perfect. The ones that were in good shape and the ones that are not, we could do something with bringing those elevations up a little bit and using it for parking. So I was able, that was probably the biggest twist, because a lot of developers had looked at it from my understanding, and that's what turned them off on it.
Yeah.
They were going to have to spend a bunch of money just to get the property ready to develop.
For those that don't know, getting rid of concrete is, especially that thick of slab, is very expensive. So you turn that liability into an asset.
Yeah, turn it into an asset. So we were able to, again, Todd did a great job testing it, and also he built my first building down there, which is Sherman Carter Barnhart's building. So he was involved with that, helping me out. And then, I scratched my head how I could use those pads and how I could make this, financially work. And I was talking to Amy, and she was looking at some of the needs in Lexington as far as the buildings and stuff. We thought we could take the back buildings and do flex spaces, which is what we've been doing. And then we could do mixed use on a portion of it. So we met with some of the city officials to see if that was even possible, if we could get a zone change. Obviously, we had to go through a lot of different steps to get that done, and felt like we had a green light. And I was like, yeah, I want to build something special here. So, that development is different than a lot of my developments and my buildings. It's always been about numbers. You're always looking at numbers and make sure they work. And this development, yes, the numbers have to work, but that's not the number one thing for this thing. So obviously that's part of the foundation, but I'm wanting to do something special. So it's kind of, just a neat project to be able to put your personality into it. So made the offer, bought the 36 acres, made an offer. Mr. Vaughn accepted it, started making some drawings and sketches of what we could do with the property. Started talking to the city again about trying to go for a zone change, which they had mentioned to us about this PUD-3, which is what we ended up with, the zone change, and that and how I can make that work. So put numbers together, played around with it, and stumbled on what we're planning on doing. So and just to give you, so tell you a little bit about that. Well, let me back up. So then I turned around and bought 4 acres. So there's an attachment piece of property. So my number one worry was traffic coming in and out.
Because there's two lanes.
There's two ways. There was 4 ways, but I made a deal with the Meadowthorpe, the neighbors, that I wouldn't use the 2 back ways. So that was, I love that. Looking at the plans, that was perfect for us to be able to use those back lanes. But also after meeting with the neighborhood, and the neighborhood was like, hey, we've never had traffic coming through here. Now we're going to create all this traffic coming back and forth. I have a family, so that was really important to me as well. So I was like, that's fine. We'll shut those off. So we shut after I just put gates and everything in there, we actually ended up locking those 2 gates. So now there's just two ways to get in and out of the property, and there's no light there. So I was like, okay, well, let's look at this other 4 acres that was attached to our property, and it did have one tenant. It's a 36,000 square foot building. It's on Forbes Road. And it had one tenant, and that the owner of that building was willing to sell it to us. So we made an offer, made that happen, and now we have 40 acres, and now we have 3 different ways to get in and out of the property. And the thing that's what I love about it, Forbes Road has a light. So that's going to help traffic in and out as well. And it, now it makes a great circulation. So if you come off West Main Street, you can go out on Forbes and head right on to Old Frankfort or on Forbes Road there. So that worked really, really well. So we took that building, that 36,000 square foot building, redid that building. And now we have thoroughbred engineers and architects in that building. So
DevelopLex is sponsored by SVN Stone Commercial Real Estate, a full service commercial real estate firm located in Lexington, Kentucky, affiliated with the SVN International Network, which is comprised of over 1,600 advisors and staff and 200 plus offices across the globe. The SVN Stone team consists of experienced commercial real estate advisors in the heart of the Bluegrass. SVN provides commercial real estate services to large corporations, middle market businesses, and individual entrepreneurial investors. Serving the greater Lexington area, SVN offers advisory services for sales, leasing, management, and development of commercial properties locally, regionally, and nationally. With transaction volume of over $400 million, the advisors at SVN Stone Commercial Real Estate have vast experience and deep understanding of all aspects of commercial real estate. So if you could, and I want to continue diving into the commons, but if you could maybe touch on a little bit, obviously you had to meet with the city, you met with the neighborhood. Mm-hmm. What did those conversations look like? How have you kind of postured yourself as coming in with the developer, as a developer? I'm sure that, because we talk about this on the podcast a lot, there are a lot of people that are anti-growth in the city, or maybe not in my backyard per se is what people call it. But in this case, you very much made an effort to go and meet with the neighborhood and try to ask what their needs were. Yeah. What did that process kind of look like?
Well, I'm glad you asked, because if I had one advice to give a developer, first of all, I would say follow your passion. And that's what I'm doing with this development. We're actually following what I really have passion toward and the type of buildings we're building. But the number one advice I would give you, if you're going to do a development next to a neighborhood, is spend time to get to know those people. I know a lot of great developers in town with the Greers, the Maddens, the Webbs, I know they do a really good job with people. And I would tell anybody, again, that's can be a developer, is go spend some time with the neighbors, get to know what they really want as well. Sometimes that doesn't totally work out financially with what your plans are, but we were able to work out a deal with the neighborhoods and not, again, shut the two roads down. So that was important for them, the back roads, because a tremendous amount of traffic was going to go through there. And again, it was nice for our development, because now we would have four ways to get in and out of the our property. And with the way the road runs down through there, that would have been fantastic. But I totally understand it as a family man. I was like, all these people have lived here for 60, 70 years. The last thing I want to do is create a bunch of traffic coming through and some child get hurt or whatever. So it was great. Fantastic neighbors. At first, I'm sure they looked at me like your typical developer and didn't, care much. Oh, here he's going to come in and try to create all this havoc, and bring some value to their assets by all means, but also just create something that, a lot of traffic and different stuff down there. So, and build, just build some stuff maybe didn't make a lot of sense with them. So they, I went to the neighborhood meetings. I went to seven different meetings over a year and a half span. So got to meet the neighbors. We were showing them renderings of what we were looking at doing, getting a lot of their approvals with that. They love what we were looking at and doing. They asked me to not to do a couple different things. They didn't want me to put a dog park, but they didn't want a bunch of barking dogs down there. So that we had a couple different groups looking at putting a dog shelter down there. Could have been a great tenant, but also knew it wouldn't work with the neighbors. So we didn't do that. They didn't want a daycare down there. They didn't want a couple different other items they didn't want down there. They wanted our buildings to stay somewhat low, not big, tall buildings. So again, we were able to accommodate all that, and it worked out with what I was wanting to build anyway. So it worked perfect. But get them involved. I mean, they come down there. They come to some of our meetings. Rock Daniels is a guy that I spent a lot of time with down there. So he introduced us to everyone. We were also on a mailing list, and so we did what we said we were going to do. We kept them involved with the designs we were doing. We kept them involved with the traffic flow, some of the tenants that we were looking at. So they showed up down at the city when I was getting the rezoning done, and they all had nothing but good things to say. So that worked perfect.
that's a massive deal, because especially it definitely seems like our city is pushing us to do more infield redevelopment. However, somebody in the audience feels about that, it's kind of the hand that we're dealt with at the moment. And so obviously you've made the best of that and worked on a really cool project that will, you know, obviously be like catering to that neighborhood. I'm going to guess there are going to be a lot of families that walk from their house into that development. So
that's again, what gave me a lot of interest with doing this development. You have at Meadowthorpe, you have, you know, right next to us, you have Masterson Station Park that's out there. So you put those two together, which they're actually in the same district. That's the largest district. There's more people living in that district than any district in the state.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, there's a lot of people that are underserved out in that area. So they can go to Harrisburg Road, and there's some great stuff out there by all means. But now that gives them something to come the opposite direction. So I think it's going to be, I think it's going to be a fantastic location. You got the Manchester Street that's going on down there with which is a fantastic development. They got some really cool stuff down there. So, you know, we look at it, you got the new Manchester Hotel that's opened up down there. We won't have a hotel in our space. We'll have some Airbnbs, but we won't have a hotel there. So we're looking forward to, you know, customers coming in town and staying there because that's an awesome hotel.
Yeah.
And the Marriott and everything else downtown because we're less than 1 mile from downtown. So, and you got the new, not the Triangle Park, but the
Town Branch
opening up down there, which hopefully in the next year or so. So they've already got started on that project. So that's going
to
be neat.
Man, to live, maybe I should have lived in Meadowthorpe, to live on that side of Lexington now. You've got a lot of stuff that's going on at the same time.
Cool. Yeah, and Drake's opened up in that new shopping center, which is fantastic. So
yeah, absolutely. There's a lot going on. All right, well, let's keep touching on the commons, if you would, because I think people will be actually interested about the logistics within and kind of what's going on right now. So obviously there are tenants that you cannot talk about. And so those will get announced over the following months. But what kind of stuff do you have going on in the commons right now?
So right now we have 260,000 square foot of buildings leased down there right now. So mainly flex spaces, but from contractors to you got a couple manufacturers down there, low employee count. So we're trying not to create a bunch of traffic in our back buildings. So the back buildings are back in about a 5-acre property that sits back in the back there. So then you have Battle Axe that's down there now. So they moved about a year and a half ago. They moved out there, which they have the electric go-karts, the axe throwing. They got
pickleball now.
Pickleball. They got the zip line. They've got a rage room, which is funny. I didn't have those when I was growing up. And so that's a great tenant down there. So the great thing I love about that group is their hours are typically in the summertime, whatever, you know, they work throughout the day, but during the throughout fall and winter time, a lot of times they're booked in the evenings. So that a lot of my parking opens up in the evenings because I have some office buildings down there. But so a lot of my flex spaces are all taken except for one building that we're just now finishing out right now. We have three really solid tenants that are looking at that building. So we think 30,000 square foot of the 39,000 square foot will be taken by the end of next week.
Wow.
And I can't mention names until they sign the lease. And then we've got Sora down there, which is an acrobatic, a gym down there, which is really neat tenant. Awesome. We've got Gym Blue down there now that just opened up about 3 months ago. So a really nice high-end gym that has, they've done a great job with members already. And then, like I said, the manufacturing to warehouses. I actually have a warehouse down there in my company, Amtech. So we have a 40,000 square foot building down there. And then in the front side of it, my first building I was able to build when I first bought the piece of property. With the development plan, it was in place. I could build one building before I got my zone change. So I built a 19,000 square foot ground up building that Bristol Group built me. And Sherman Carter Barnhart, which has been around for 80-something years, it's a big architectural engineering firm. They're taking 11,000 square foot of that space. And so we still have the back space of that available that we're talking to a couple of different groups. We talked to you earlier about one. So, and then I have the 36,000 square foot building on Forbes I just told you about. And Thoroughbred Engineers and Architects took that space. So they've taken the first space. And that's one of the architects I'm working with down there, by the way. So. And then right now we just signed, and I can mention both of them because they just signed their leases. But RD1, which is, you know, the new bourbon distillery that will be built there, Coach Stoops is part of that, and Mike Titterton. They have a couple of different partners, so that's going to be a really interesting building. So we broke ground on that. We've actually got all the footers in and doing the back walls now, and Goodwood is going to be attached to them as well. So they'll have a common space in between. It's about 800 square foot that sets between the two of them. That's what separates them, but there's a lot of synergies between those two companies.
Very cool.
So I think, my understanding, I think Goodwood will do a lot of RD1's foods, appetizers and stuff. So when you come in to taste their bourbons and stuff. So they're actually going to make bourbon in that building. So they've got two stills that are going to be in there. So that's really interesting. I can't wait for, if you get on our website, you'll see, but if you go to our website, you'll see the building with RD1 and Goodwood already. So that building, RD1 plans on opening September 1st. Goodwood would be about 3 or 4 months after that. So, yeah. And then we have this big green space that's right across from RD1 and Goodwood. And that kind of joins this big outdoor space that we're creating. So, and that's the green space will be about an acre worth of green space. So there will be fire pits, just places to gather, kind of do, fun evening stuff there, stuff, you know, a couple of the different tenants that we have down there are talking about using that green space for some of their events and shows and stuff like that. So that's going to be neat. And that green space goes along with this 16,000 square foot event center. And that event center, we're working with a world known venue operator, which I can't mention their name right now. We had a great meeting with them this morning. So we're working with designing right now. We've both agreed to put some money into the pot to both to get the architects on board, to start designing the building, to see if it works with them, put some budgets together. And from there, we'll decide if it works financially for them or not. But I'm hoping and praying that's going to be my tenant down there. So yeah. I can't wait to announce their name. It's going to be something really, really neat. They have six or seven different venues in the States. And they've got a lot of other venues throughout the country, so throughout the world.
It's amazing.
So it's going to be a big announcement. I think, and our goal with the event center, so I've been to several different places, and we have some great venues in Lexington. The Rupp's from 25,000 people to the Borough, which is 1,000 people, and the Manchester Street, Manchester, I can't think of their venue, but the Manchester venue down there that those guys, Mitch Potter and Adam and those guys own, they great venues. This would be similar in a sense. It's about 1,000 people, seated 1,000 people. I'd have a couple different levels on it. But my goal is to make it every time you go to it, it's like a neat experience. So it's, from comedy nights to country music to different music throughout the weekends or what have you. So, and do different events at that venue. So, and they'll use part of that green space as well. So the group that I'm working with right now that I just mentioned, is they're planning on doing stuff for like the UK games, big TVs and stuff. So when you can't make it into the Rupp, we're hoping they'll come down here and spend time. So on the outside, a green space with outdoor TVs and inside the venue as well. So, and right next to that will be a big retail space. And that retail space, it's 9,000 square foot of retail on the first floor. And then the second floor will have a couple rooftops, and then there will be 6 Airbnbs on that space.
Amazing.
So, and then, the rest of space, all the design's done. So we've got, all together, we have 32 Airbnbs there. And so the space right next to the retail space I was just mentioning to you will have individual little 600 square foot retail spaces. So what I'm hoping for with those would be like Kentucky artists, from hat makers to, steel makers to little cool Kentucky artists to be inside those buildings. So, Those are 600 square foot on the first floor, and the second and third floor will be Airbnbs. So kind of a mix, a mixed use of those things. So
yeah, the Airbnb model for that is interesting. I remember you saying that now at the previous engagement that you spoke at. That'll be a really interesting constant influx of traffic of people that are actually being tourists for the city. Whether it be coming to visit or coming to a basketball game or whatever.
Kingland.
A constant amount and actually of people it's that are interesting. In the development.
Yeah, it's interesting because we have a lot of the, like RD1, we got a couple of our big tenants that are talking to us about reserving one of those units for their use. The event center, we're pretty much assuming that they're going to want 2 or 3 of those as well. So the ones that are adjacent to this event center, we figure those would be probably filled quickly with big corporate groups. And then the rest of them are just people coming into state. Could be the artists that's going to be working, but people following the different artists, different venue, the different things are going on down there. But you know, if you look at RD1, they're looking at having 30,000 people come through their facility throughout the year. So that's, you know, that's creating a group of people that's going to come down there. They'll get on the buses there or park their car, park the cars there, get in the buses, and then travel throughout Lexington, Purcell's, and all the different places to hit some of the different bourbon distilleries. Our goal is to capture those people to come back into our retail spaces, our restaurants. So that's a built-in client for us. And that's my ultimate goal with this whole thing. That's why we say unite living, work, and play. Because we have the industrial spaces down there. We have the architect and engineers. You know, there's between those two different architects and engineers I just mentioned, there's 200 employees between the two of them. So that's a built-in customer for our other, for our tenants, our mixed-use tenants. And then you have, again, with RD1, you got Goodwood, and then this big venue, this 1,000-person venue. I'm trying to create a customer base that fills the, you know, the retail wants to come there, as well as the restaurants and, you know, those type of users down there.
So. Yeah, tenant synergy is huge that you just mentioned. Was that, I guess, my question would be, was your original vision and what is happening in real life now, do those match up?
Yeah, we meet every Tuesday. So me and my team, which is a project manager, my son, Seth Turner, he's one of our project managers, oldest Melissa, Brandon, our team, and then you have Amy with Block and Lock.
Yeah, so, shout out Amy Mellinger. Yes, she does. Nicest broker in life. She's the best.
She's awesome. Her and Ryder Brown. So we all meet every Tuesday, and so we just collaborate. We sit there and we'll talk through the synergies between the different tenants, because we're being very picky who we put down there. So, you know, there's a lot of retail shops that you know that go in that haven't been in our space that we've seen go in different places, and then they go out of business in the first year. Our goal was to try to find the right tenants down there that could work, number one. So we want to look at their business plan and also make sure that their vision fits our passion, you could say. And then again, we're looking for just like the office buildings we put down there. There's a purpose for putting those office buildings where we did, because they close at 5 o'clock. So that opens up for our retail and the event center, their parking does. So we're trying to make sure we put the right tenants in the right spaces down there. And also tenants that share clients, you know. Now, right now we're working with a really strong group right now that I have anywhere between 150 kids a day that come through there. So, you know, our goal is, okay, now they have a spot to drop their kids off. I can't mention the name again, but they have a place to drop their kids off. Then they can go hang out in our mixed use, you know, have a glass, you know, whatever, eat appetizers, have a glass of wine. They can hang out right there, wait for their child to get done with their training and stuff, and then they would pick them up and leave. So again, now we're trying to create different places that the clients down there would mix, you know, be able to use throughout the development. So
yeah, mixed use. That's I mean, mixed use has definitely taken off in the last few years. Yeah. I think people understand that they want to live, work, and play somewhere. But if you can, kill a lot of birds with one stone while you're within a development, that's awesome. Just to touch on before we get off the commons, what are you currently looking for? If somebody's listening right now that has a concept or is a broker or is somebody in banking, what are you looking for?
So
currently?
A couple things we're looking for now. The tenant that's hopefully going to take our event center is going to bring two restaurants with them. So that's, and we don't know the restaurants yet. They own several different restaurants. That'd be something very unique to Lexington. So they bring along two restaurants. One of the restaurants will help serve food inside the event center and also to the public itself. And then again, they've got a couple of different concepts. So we're anxious to get through that. Hopefully in 60 days, we'll be able to announce this tenant. So, and the restaurants probably won't be decided at that time, but we'll be able to, again, kind of walk through some of what they're looking for, the square footage and the space. But ultimately we're looking for retail in restaurants down there. So we've got a spot when you first come in off West Main Street. So if you pull into to our road, Turner Commons Way, to the right there's a green space there. Actually, it has a big sign with Amy Mellinger's picture and her and what we're doing down there. So that space right there is about an acre, and we're looking for a high-end restaurant to go in there. So something kind of high-end, something different. We're not looking for franchise. Matter of fact, my goal is not to put a franchise down here. So I want, again, it doesn't just have to be local, but it's still, I want boutique style stuff here. So to the left of that, when you come in, it's RD1. So again, that's where that, just to give you an indication where that location is. Down to the, when you come on down the road to the right side, heading down towards Manchester Street where the bridge is, we're looking for a cool, unique boutique style restaurant to go in there. There's about an acre of green space there, so we're looking for someone that would fit that space well, that would use the outdoor space. If it's volleyball, if it's cornhole, whatever, just some fun location. Some cool restaurant that wants to fit that space. And that's a very unique space. So, because again, it has a lot of grass, a lot of green space that goes along with that, with a lot of cool mature trees. So that's going to be a neat one. And then just looking again for a retail, local retail, if, you know, a boutique style, again, local would be great. But retail to go in there, and the restaurants are just going to be key for us. So again, we have a lot of tenants back in the back, 260,000 square foot of tenants back in the back that need a place to go eat. You know, and, you know, after hours, hopefully, you know, they stop by the retail place, you know, their families, what have you. Again, with the event center going in there and having that amount of people coming through the different events we have, we truly believe it can feed the retail that we're looking for down there as well as the restaurant. So, and it's just a great location. If you drive it, I encourage people to drive down there and see it. So it looks a little bit like a war zone right now because we're putting all the infrastructure in. We just finished putting majority of the infrastructure in. So I spent my first year and a half putting the infrastructure in. So all the utilities we put underground, you don't see electric lines overhead there. It was a big thing for me is to put those underground too, so you don't have wires and stuff running down through there. But then you got, you know, so the retail space and the restaurants, most of those spots have been dedicated right next to the railroad tracks. So we're kind of endorsing the railroad tracks. So it's so cool on Saturdays to watch these fathers bring their sons down there and sit there and look and just watch the trains come past. So we're endorsing the train tracks. The nice thing about the train tracks, there's no crosswalks there, so they're not blowing a horn, so all you hear is the train.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, it's not loud. Matter of fact, Sherman Carter Bernhardt's office sits right next to the railroad track, and my first concerns were that they thought it was loud, and they were like, we don't even know it's here.
Really?
So that's great. So again, the retail, the restaurants, we've created about a mile and a half of walking paths down there. So again, we want people to come park, they enjoy them, they get a coffee at the coffee shop, a donut, what have you. And, you know, walk their dogs down these walking paths. So those walking paths kind of navigate through the landscaping, some of the existing trees there, and a lot of the new landscaping we put in there. So it's a really cool spot. So,
that is.
And we've got a nice size pond that we're working with the Corps right now, Corps of Engineers, to get them to approve us to redo the pond and bring it to life. It's basically, it's a, you know, 3-4 inches of puddled water at this point, but we're going to try to do something really cool with that. So we're really close to getting that passed, and that's going to become an area that really comes alive as well. And that's right there off of Forbes Road. And it's the property, again, it attaches right to Turner Commons Way. So
Craftsman Contractors is Central Kentucky's one-stop shop for roofing, windows, siding, and gutters. CraftsmanContractors.com/contact us will get you straight to the form you need so that their team will get in touch about your project. Or just text Stephen at 859-246-0108. When they finish your project, windows, siding, gutters, or roofing, you'll see what they mean when they say we build with integrity.
Awesome. Very, very thoughtfully curated. I love that. And I love being able to talk about current development. I do want to just to kind of go on the same vein of thoughtfully curated. We did not talk about this beforehand, nor I always send out questions, nor did I put it in the questions, but I have heard of from about 50 sources, and you can tell it in the tone in which you talk, that you are very philanthropically based and you think very thoughtfully about the community. Has that kind of given you life as a developer? Obviously, there are different ventures that you're a part of, but has that kind of given life to you as a developer? Kind of what is your drive on some of these developments and some of the things you guys are a part of?
Yeah, well, my father embedded this in my brother and I and my mother as well. But we love people and truly do. And we want to satisfy, matter of fact, probably to a fault, satisfy everybody. So that makes it difficult as a developer because you're always trying to, you got numbers that have to work, but also you got people to satisfy. So, you know, I guess in a nutshell, again, I am here in Kentucky, so this is not a development that's for sale. I don't plan on building it to sell. I plan on bringing life to this development that, I think it's a beautiful piece of property, 40 acres right here on the inside of New Circle Road, close to downtown Lexington, which is, as you know, ever since Jim Gray, when he was the mayor, he did such a great job with redeveloping downtown, and currently mayor doing the same thing. So it's, you know, downtown is really starting to flourish. You know, you got Jeff Ruby's and some cool stuff down there. So, you know, being I'm a Lexingtonian and don't plan on moving from here. I love this place. I want to build something that's a legacy. I want to build something that's going to be great for Kentucky. I truly believe in this space that we're going, again, with Meadowthorpe and all the different neighborhoods out in that area. It's underserved. I think it's going to be a great area for them. It's, you know, West Main Street's one of the main roads to come into Lexington. So, you know, it's not a development's for sale. I'm not trying to build something to turn around and sell. So it's something, and that's why we're trying to put local artists in there. So we're trying, again, working with a really cool hat maker right now. I'm hoping to get him to come down there. So I'll go and call him out, Tony Higdon, one of my good friends. He's an incredible artist, but he does hats. My daughter does hats as well, as mentioned to you earlier. So trying to bring local artists down there, make them very boutique style retail spaces, and the same thing with the restaurants. We're born and raised here. My mother is one of 13, so brothers and sisters. Catholic, obviously.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, my dad's done such a great job in all the buildings he's built and what he's done as a developer. And Troy and I are just trying to follow the same, you know, he's got big feet to fill. So,
yeah.
But, you know, just, it's not something we're just going to build and walk away from. So I'm hoping my son, Seth Turner, will end up taking it over. So he just finished a business degree at UK and he's joining me over there. So he's a project manager currently for me. So my ultimate goal is maybe in the next 5 to 7 years to be able to step back just a little bit and let him get more involved. So do the same thing my dad did with me. So
yeah, that's awesome. We talk about this, me and Ross, probably more so offline. But I think that there's something to be said about thoughtful development. It's kind of our duty as people that are in and around real estate. People think of real estate as like buy and sell, right? It's kind of like a transactional thing, but really you're, especially as it relates to development, really you're kind of given a task to make the best of a piece of property, a piece of land that you're given, and put the best thing in that place. So I definitely commend what you guys are doing down
there. Well, you know, if you think, you know, a lot of developers look at a development and you try to put as many buildings in that development as you can, which makes sense financially.
Yeah.
Because you don't rent green space, you rent bricks and mortar, you rent square footage of buildings. So that's, you know, when I went into this development, I was going to look at this totally different. So I'm not a rich person. It's got all kinds of money to be able to do what I want to do, but I'm going to make sure it's done. It's not just done for financial purposes. So I want to build something that's going to be special for Lexington. So you'll see with all the green space we have that we could have tried to put buildings on and done something different with what we're doing with that. Again, we have a lot of green space there, but it's just, I don't know. It's just really, really important to put, you know, we've turned down more tenants at this point than we've accepted. And if you're one of the tenants listening to this podcast, it has nothing to do with them not being a good tenant. It just wasn't the right fit for what we're doing down there. A lot of them is parking. A lot of them is certain trucks. So have a certain amount of traffic coming through there. And my goal is to have plenty of parking. That not to be the number one issue. Also, we're trying to look at the tenants and put them in the right spaces so their parking can be used later on for an event or the concerts or for battle acts, whoever's full. So we're really trying to just think through the different tenant mix we're putting down there. And again, the traffic flow and just, again, what, you know, at the end of the day, what are we going to be happy and proud of? Not just something that just puts money in somebody's pocket. So,
yeah.
So obviously the financials have to work by all means. So
yeah, absolutely. That makes sense. Okay. Well, let's think maybe a little bit forward, forward facing questions, as it relates to Lexington, obviously your lifetime in and around Lexington. Mm-hmm. What are some things, that you feel excited for in the city moving forward?
Well, I love Lexington. We travel. Me and my wife are empty nesters right now, so we've been traveling quite a bit. And through my business with our different locations and where we're doing electrical jobs at, I get to travel in a lot of different cool states. There's no place like Lexington still. You know, the people, I'd say it number one, the people itself. You know, it's a, you know, the Southern style of all of us. The personality of the city itself. You know, I love Kingland. You know, I wish one day we had the Derby here, because I think Kingland, there's no track like Kingland, if you ask me. It's just beautiful. It's right in the mix of all the farms, beautiful horse farms and stuff, the basketball, the football, you know, all of our sports and stuff. And just UK, the campus itself is just beautiful. So it's just a great, I mean, great place to come live. So I, you know, I'd look at the future just bright. So again, the city officials and the planning and zoning is doing a really good job. You know, they're tough, I know, and a lot of people complain, developers complain, because they won't let them develop certain things. But there's a purpose for that. We're trying to save Lexington. So, you know, that's why this property was so important to me, because it was on the inside of New Circle Road. It was a piece of property. It was already developed at one time and was just sitting there. So, you know, I'm excited, again, how they're kind of handling the zoning, the planning and zoning with everything in the future. So I see is kind of moving towards Winchester, and I love Winchester. It's a great little town. Nicholasville, yeah. Again, you kind of see is moving towards. So I think it's a great place to live. I continue to see, you know, hear people moving into this area, you know, blue collar, white collar, what have you. So, and again, it just has its own little personality because of the horse, you know, the horse farms and stuff. So what a great place. And so I'm excited about it. And I, you know, if I don't do any developments outside of Lexington now. Mount Sterling, I worked in, is fantastic. I love their people up there. I just want to keep something close that I can work with, you know, and Richmond's very close to me. So it's right off the interstate. So I've got a couple buildings there I mentioned, but no, I just see a bright future for the city. And again, the people that live here is what makes it so.
Awesome. And then my follow-up to that would be, how do you feel like you can encourage people, and how do you see the city of Lexington continuing to change for the better? If there are things that you would encourage people to think through or process, yeah, or anything like that.
Yeah. I think it's kind of what I did with this development, and I'm not bragging on that, the way I handled that, but again, working with the neighbors, working with the people, you know, that know the town, that love the town. So, I mean, I think a developer is the best job there is. You know, you get to create something cool, you turn around and you lease those buildings to someone at a reasonable price that they can get in. You're bringing life to a certain area. It's now you have bricks and mortars, and I stay diversified. I do some investing in the market by all means, but also I'm very diversified where I like bricks and mortars. It's something solid there, and then also have some, you know, do something in the stock market itself. But I, you know, it's been my favorite thing to do, you know, starting off with building houses, now to doing this development. Troy and I did that cool development out there called the Serenity, which is 5 and 10 acre lots. But, you know, I don't know. I guess, you know, the way I would encourage anybody to start off is do the same thing I did. Buy you a small house, you know, buy something at a reasonable deal. To me, it's all about what you pay for something. You know, you got to get in right to begin with, you know, do a fix up with the place, turn around and rent it or sell it, whatever, make a little, you know, create some cash flow for you. So then that's what I did. I built my first 5 houses and created some cash flow with them. So then it allowed me to do my first commercial building.
Yeah.
But for somebody getting into development, that's what I'd encourage them to do. Start off with residential. It's safe. You know, the market's, you know, it's either very good to, you know, good times to sell, or it's good times to rent. So either one of them work. You know, if, you know, the renting market's not the best, we'll go ahead and sell it, because those two markets always work with one another. So, I think it's a fantastic place to start, build up some capital there, and then to get into the commercial space or stay in the real estate. I mean, the residential space, because that's a great space. I know a lot of developers that do the residential that do very, very well. So
awesome. Well, thank you for everything you do for the city. We will absolutely make sure to post all the assets and really promote everything that the Commons has going right now through all of our DevelopLex channels. So, and then obviously once you guys are able to talk about some of those tenants, maybe sure, we can have some efforts to put that through on DevelopLex. So people here that are listening to the podcast can be the first to hear. So awesome. Thank you, Darren.
Thank you very much.